And now, your Mountain Dime Drive at 5 with Jazz and Jesse Live. Featuring Jazz Hands.
Thanks, guy.
Jesse.
This is my job!
And Ethnarch.
The people who try to ascribe significance to this are idiots.
Heard only behind the TRS paywall.
All right. I didn't play that song because I liked it. Just in case anyone was wondering. I'm not suddenly a boomer hippie rock fan. That was, of course, The End by The Doors. And the reason I played it... Actually, I played it and I edited it. It's Jazz and Jesse. Hello, Jazz. Hello, Ethnarch. I know you guys are there.
Hello.
Hello out there. This is your midweek FTN / Wednesday tedious replacement show just before the 4th of July. Sorry, Mike was under the weather. Hopefully we'll have him back Friday. But I played The End. The End, which is like kind of endless. I think I didn't realize it goes on for 11 fucking minutes. I haven't heard it in a while. So
it's long as fuck.
Yeah, I edited out the most tedious, like, 3 or 4 minutes in the middle there where he's just, like, ad-libbing. He actually, like, for somebody who's supposed to be, like, this great, like, poet laureate of the boomer generation, like, he actually says, like, the West is the best. It's like he's clearly ad-libbing, like, I don't know what he's on. Just, like... just spitting out the most obvious rhyme. Anyway, it's just stupid shit in the middle there where they jam. But for us going through the actual end of the American Empire, the Western civilization, whatever you want to fucking call it, nobody is going to mercifully, you know, edit the most tedious middle parts out of it for us. We're going to live through the entire, like, terribly put together, ad-libbed jam that is the downfall of everything we know and love, so... I don't really mean to I don't know. It's like I don't mean to be like Alex Jones here. This is the end game. We're all going into FEMA camps. It's like we're not going to FEMA camps. We're just gonna be addicted to opiates, not have jobs and no future, and no one's gonna care. But just like, you know, I started to do prep today, and just like the sense I get from all the happenings lately, all the headlines. And I guess, like, filter through the lens that we look at stuff and what we actually want out of Trump versus what Trump was, you know, says he is. It feels like it's all over, like everything. It feels like actually at this point, like I don't want to like go back and like retcon like the entire thing as a giant conspiracy. Like I don't want to get my Johnny pill going, but it's like he almost fits like the last cog in the plan to like to seal the deal. The way everything he has done has so thoroughly like backfired. And created all this backlash against the things he ran against in 2016. It's almost like too perfect. How we're like literally requested the opposite of this, right? So, I mean, it starts the thought that made this all kind of crystallize is everything coming together. It was when I saw yesterday that the White House gave up on the fight for the citizenship question on the census. Like, that's a fucking common sense, simple thing that any nation that wasn't like meant for total destruction, like that would just be a no-brainer, no argument. Like, oh yeah, we're doing a census, and we don't want to just know how many people are here. We kind of would like to know like their legal status in the country as well. Like that's just a no-brainer for anything that's not a Jewish psyop. So that kind of made me think like this is such a simple fucking straightforward thing that he can't even get done, or that he stopped fighting for. And then he goes on and, you know, tweets that whatever. That comes later. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I mean, we've had that combined with like ongoing rhetoric for a couple weeks that like the border jumper detention centers are concentration camps, right? This is like, to me, it's like this is like larger than life, worse than usual. Oh my god, like Reich posting by like, you know, Twitter fags and journalists and shit. Like it's not usually this bad, and it's not just it's not just like slandering the enemy for votes. Like this is, it's, I think it's a campaign to like triggered the conditioned response out of everyone in the country to put the idea of border control and security just out of their minds forever. Right. So it's got the conservaboomers just like they're on their back feet and they're not talking about immigration. They're talking about how the detention centers aren't concentration camps. Oh, my God, the concentration camps are the worst thing that ever happened. How dare you? And it just spins in this spiral of Jew worship. And they're just, you know, screaming, I'm not Hitler, you're Hitler. And it just goes around and around, and AOC and the other like POC Congress women that show up there grabbing the fence and for photo ops and blaming the Trump for creating these detention centers. It's like the framing of the issue is so complete, and it's like impassable, the frame, for most people. There's just no, there's no getting around the way they framed it in. It's like this crisis was created by the president, as at the border, like no one ever crossed the border illegally before. And it's just, it's like, what is this guy doing trying to stop them? Now we have concentration camps. You happy now? It's like, well, no, I'd rather redact it. But skids are looking pretty greased, wouldn't you say, Jazz? Those are some pretty greased skids.
The skids are greased. I just want to counter signal you on one thing, though.
Oh, no.
And that's the census. At this point, it is literally rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. I mean, if you're look, in principle, I think you should do a census of citizens only. But at this late stage of the game, I only want a count of all the people who don't belong here. I want them included, too. I want an actual tally of how bad things are. We can count the citizens, and then we can have a body count of redacted well, when these people have been shipped back. I want to know how many people are here. Because otherwise, this is just like late stage. The citizenship question on the census, although I'm supportive of it in principle, et cetera, is a good thing. But it's just, it's just a harbinger of how bad things are. Let's make sure that we only count the citizens because it's a cope.
Isn't it
by the government?
Aren't they just asking the questions and you're going to answer citizen or not citizen? I assume that the purpose of this question was to get both of those numbers.
And to ensure
that like non-citizens don't affect the apportionment or whatever of the congressional districts per state.
Correct, but you're going to have people not answering the census, so we're going to get depressed numbers of actual immigrants, legal or illegal. You're going to get depressed numbers of lots of people. So you're not going to get a very small, and you're going to get an count of whites as a bigger portion of the population than they actually are. You know what I mean? Because if citizens only are answering these questions, and you have this sort of artificial suppression of the actual number of people, I want to go around and have the government count everybody. And when they're counting people, when they find out that you don't belong here, that's the deportation right there. Like the census and the deportation have been combined into one thing. Like you line up on this chalk line, and you're show us your papers. Okay, cool. That's our decennial census for 2020, and the people who didn't make the cut, go get on this bus because you're fucking gone. Like that's totally a LARP. But this suppression of it is just, and it's not going to happen anyway. That's sort of like my thing on it now. It's just like the citizenship question is an ideal thing in an America where all the other things are working out really well. But the meta of Donald Trump coming out and totally saying that, oh, guys, it's still on. Now, the Justice Department.
I didn't get there yet. That's not, that's not where I was going. Right, that's why you're getting ahead of the prep. Getting ahead of the prep. Like, okay. Basically, I'm looking at the acute. Actually, it's more chronic than acute, but it's just like the specific loss right there that you can't even get this done. Right? No. The Supreme Court, you have W justices going against this, siding with the Jewish liberals. It's insane. If we didn't know better, we would think it's insane.
I have to one more thing on this though, is that the Trump administration was so inept on arguing this case.
It shouldn't have to be argued. It's fucking common sense. You should just walk in and be like Justice Roberts. Come on.
It shouldn't have to be argued anyway. But to your point earlier, that this is all just This is all just a fake and gay op. If you subscribe to that, and I don't deny it.
It's a giant Nuremberg trial.
Why wouldn't you argue such an easy case? Why wouldn't you make this easy? Why wouldn't you? But no, of course, it's almost like, oh man, it's too bad that didn't work out at the Supreme Court. We got to hurry up and print the forms now. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, that was the gayest thing. It's like, it's more important that we get this done wrong on time. It's more important that I take the loss and this gets done on time. Like, I don't know. Do the census in 2021 then. See if I fucking care. Right? Do it a year late. Let's get this question set up. Whatever. But again, as you said, it's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic there. But so on top of all this, like, you can't even get like a common sense answer on that legal question. You can't get that question on the he's giving up. You lay on top of that. You had all of the Democrat candidates raising their hands to give free healthcare to every illegal who gets here. And then
you could have sent Stella the Umbrella in front of the Supreme Court and gotten a better result from George W. Bush era justices with the citizenship question.
Okay, all right.
You could have sent Stella Umbrella there.
You want to gas up his ego
probably,
like that?
Robert probably would have taken like pity on it.
So
anyway,
the promises of free healthcare and the calls to decriminalize illegal border crossing. You have that. And then I saw another thing today that this kind of stuff adds up to. I saw an article where Africans are using the Central American migrant corridor in unprecedented numbers because news has made it all the way to fucking Ebola land. That if you come here, you get to the border and you can stomach the toilet water you have to drink, you're eventually going to get shipped to a sanctuary city and you're set for life. That our policy is one of token resistance to these people, and that this, on top of that, the system's working as hard as it can to remove said token resistance. So why wouldn't you come and recognize? So now we've got, it's not just Central Americans, it's goddamn Africans coming up through Mexico in record numbers. And then on top of that, then I see you've got Beto. I mean, not that he has like a legit chance to anything, but he's actually campaigning on the other side of the border for foreigners' votes. He's like, he's a legit candidate for president who's actively opening, courting the votes of foreigners in their fucking homelands. It's like, that's utterly absurd if you actually are a sane person who looks at this stuff and takes politics and the existence of this country in good faith. It seems absurd, but when you look at it through the other way, it makes perfect sense. And then there's another one of these headlines I saw was that lobbyists say U.S. critics are racist for opposing stealth transfer of millennials' jobs to Indian migrants. This was on Boomer Bar. It is a bill that will give away H-1B visas to hundreds of thousands of Indians every year, and permanent status is being put through the Senate with some kind of stealthy, unanimous consent. The process means that only Lee needs to show support, and like the vote is private somehow, and they can do the same thing in the House. And this will go straight to Trump's desk without like real fanfare, without any vote on the record. And
that's exactly the way everybody wants it. One million more Pajits, please. Just send them through the back door.
And do you think he'll sign it? I mean, he just said in January, we need all the skilled workers we can. Well, there's your skilled workers. H-1Bs to go to work for the tech industry here. You know, slamming shut the final door that for a decent wage that whites can work for is tech. It's like everything else has been shipped off. It's like now we're just going to import the people to finish this off. But I guess under the claim that we can't find qualified individuals here. No, you can't find people to work cheap enough to do this fucking shit here. So, and this is what
he said. They definitely do not want any wage increases for anyone in these areas at all.
No, because you have to keep everything down. So it says here that if the bill became law, the Indian share of employer green cards would quadruple to at least 100,000 cards a year, or 1 million people for decades. For decade, that's what the that's like the end. That's the end of it. That's the end.
Yeah. And so, well, and these jobs get the carve out. This, you get the official silent vote in Congress.
Yeah.
But for people mowing lawns and banging walls and whatever, those are the people coming across the border right now. Those are the people living in tent cities right now. Yeah. And they get both ends of
this. Coming across the wall that didn't get banged. That didn't get built.
Yeah.
Just coming right across. Yeah, so
30 years ago it was Sean Hannity. Wallbanger. now
so
now it's these fucking pieces of garbage.
So the most absurd, the really truly like maddening part of all this that I'm observing is the public response to it. The public response, the media response, voter response, whatever you want to call it. Everybody who's like keyed into it at all, paying attention, the way people talk about it. The left doesn't fucking deny this shit anymore. All right? They don't say that this Breitbart stuff, because most of this I was reading on Breitbart. They don't say that Breitbart is fake news, this shit's not happening, and it's all just right-wing demagoguery and spin, fast right-wing conspiracy. They say that this is all, like, good. It's happening, it's good, and you're an evil person if you don't like it, right? Like, schemes to replace American workers with foreigners, campaigning for the votes of non-citizen, healthcare to illegals, all this shit used to be stuff that you'd accuse them of, and they deny it. And they get cover from the media and, like, plausible deniability to point to you and call you some kind of, like, kook conspiracy theorist. Like, no, what do you mean? Nobody's for open borders. Nobody's for giving away health care to all these people. Nobody's trying to court votes of illegal immigrants on the other side of the... What are you talking about? You're just a stupid right-wing nutcase. You're just a wingnut. But they're not doing that now. They're saying no. This is good. You're evil if you don't like it. You can lose your job. You can be fucking physically assaulted in the street. Your property vandalized, whatever. And nobody does anything to stop it or punish people or did it. You can cry about political violence and never even consider striking back because you're marked for death by the system. The pain you feel is nothing more than just this process working itself out, right? Like, it's basically like we're all Seattle and we're all done. Like, the Seattle and San Francisco, the process of making the decent white boomer people, like, go away. The people that stand up against, like, icky stuff going on and injustice, personal injustice, NIMBY people, they're systematically removing us so they can, like, you know, refill and replace with the H-1B Indians and everything else. And so they're not even, like, I guess that would make me a kook if I accused them of that. They wouldn't go with that. But all these other things, they're just saying, this is just progress. This is just how you treat people. The country's for everybody. And the other side, the president's supporters, just continue to pretend that, like, Orange Man is taking care of it. He's a master negotiator. All this losing is going to lead to a huge win in the long run. Just you wait. He didn't tell you that he wants all these so-called skilled Indians. He's not dealing with DACA with heart. It's all fake news. Just trust the plan. Trust the plan.
Yeah, it's all, like, fake news. It's all fake news. Yeah.
That's fake news. And everything that he's saying he's not doing, he is doing. There's not even, like, a debate about it anymore. It's just one side beating your face in and, like, telling you to like it. The other side telling you the beating is imaginary, or that at some point a cosmic force from the ether is going to just, like, emerge and stop the beating if you just vote to keep America great in 2020. Like, that's what we're doing now. That's, like, that's the entire public debate. And I played the end by the Doors.
it's beautiful. I think there's we have a caller. It's his name's Rusty. Rusty Sharp.
Oh, Rusty from St. Louis. Is he calling?
Yeah, it's Cape Girardeau. Actually.
Oh, he lives in Florida now.
Yeah,
I believe Rusty's originally from St. Louis. But let's play. Caller, you're in the oven.
Well, before I put the caller in, I think he in the call notes here, I see that he thinks that you're falling for doom and gloom clickbait.
Oh.
America's actually thriving under Trump. This caller believes that this is the case, and it's really just the Drudge Report putting all this out there for people to lap up, and you're just wallowing in your own misery, guy. Let's Rusty, you're on Jazz and Jesse.
I was perusing the Drudge page over the top of the hour, but man, the Drudge page, depending on the time you look at it, I mean, it can make it look like this country's finished. We're done. It's over.
This is the end.
You may as well forget about it. Just enjoy your life.
Let me give you
these headlines. Are ready? U.S. cities overwhelmed with illegals from Ebola countries. Do you know what Ebola is? You get it, you're dead. There's no cure for Ebola, particularly if it's Ebola Zaire. You get that, and it's sayonara. There isn't any cure, and now U.S. is overwhelmed with illegals from Ebola countries. Not that they have Ebola, but who's going to stop and make that distinction?
It's just a fucking
next headline, not being screened, not being quarantined.
Come on, Rusty. It's not that
California
bad, is it?
California desert town sees migrant surge as crisis worsens. Non-stop dumping. New phenomenon. Crawling out of manholes in El Paso. The illegals are in the sewer system, and they're popping up out of manhole covers in El Paso, folks. And there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Never eaten that salsa.
Trump, man. Mexico doing great job at border, really helping us. Now, Drudge puts that under those four headlines that we're being overrun by Ebola and illegals are swarming El Paso through manhole covers. Next headline, private wall group ordered to keep gate open. You've got this guy that's running a GoFundMe page to get money to build a wall, and he's building the wall, and now somebody's told him he can't close it. I know it's not a laughing matter. I'm laughing at the somebody landing from Mars and looking at the Drudge page today is going to ask themselves why they came.
That's pretty good.
And there are people on Twitter. This is from June 14th. So just a couple weeks ago. This is a big Plan Trust account on Twitter. I love Rush Limbaugh calling out Drudge for being doom and gloom.
Oh my God.
America is thriving under Trump, but you would never know it by looking at the Drudge report. I'm not sure what happened to Matt Drudge, but I'm sure it's dollar related. I deleted Drudge from my bookmarks years ago. Wow. I don't miss it one bit. Yeah, just slap those blinders on.
Holy
shit. You plan-trusting faggot.
The only people denying all the evil that's going on are the Trump supporters. That's amazing. Like, you would, Oh my God. And imagine being Rush Limbaugh. You began an era. You ended the era of total narrative control in the media by the left. Like, you came in, you were a pioneer. You fucking set up this nationally syndicated talk radio show that everybody told you wasn't going to work, that nobody cared. You became like this gigantic media juggernaut. You're about like, things are sort of going okay for you. You're going to retire. And then this crazy Trump thing happens. Somebody's finally talking about immigration, and you decide to stay on, just keep going. And now, like, you finally really are going to retire in that tone of voice. Like, you've done, you didn't help. And you're just going to sit there, and the doom is finally getting to you, and your audience won't accept it. Like, what are you supposed to do? But I feel your pain. Well, I don't, because my audience gets it.
Yeah, and I mean, this is just total insanity, and the people in this Twitter thread are speculating that Drudge must have sold out. Hard to blame him, but it sucks. It would have been great to see if someone could investigate Matt Drudge. Another theory is that he's compromised and just can't tell the truth anymore. A rumor is that he has an alternative lifestyle. It's like, he's telling you the fucking truth. How do you shake these people? They think it's like everything's going well. And that was Rush Limbaugh's narrative in that show from 3 weeks ago, is that we're doing well in spite of all these bad things that Drudge is sort of lying about.
Is that now, what he like came around to that, because he realized he had like advertisers that had to get their money's worth, because like everyone's going to just shut the thing off if he goes doom and gloom
That was the whole premise of this. It's like, oh, folks, don't get depressed about what you're reading in the news. It's like with the Ebola thing. He's like, Matt Drudge is telling people that people are coming here with Ebola. They're not coming here with Ebola. They're just coming from places where there's lots of Ebola. But that's not the same thing, guys.
All right, let's talk about Zika. Let's talk about TB. Let's talk about all these other diseases that they're bringing instead. I mean, let's talk about the reason why you have...
That there are 5,200 illegal migrants in custody right now who have chickenpox and or measles.
Chickenpox.
Yeah. Yeah.
For Christ's sake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and so I, when we were talking about this pre-prep, I was like, well, what the hell is Rush Limbaugh talking about today? And, because it's like fast forward 3 weeks, it's so funny. Like, I don't even remember what was going on 3 weeks ago. But these people must all be like high off of like how bad the Democrats are, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. It's funny. It's great. I was saying to Mike the other day, like, it would be wonderful if we had some sort of opposition or mm-hmm. somebody to capitalize on this. But there's nobody. Those debates couldn't have been worse optics.
Yes.
For them. But no, there's nobody that's going to capitalize on it. That's why the optics are so bad.
But what does
they
it tell
no
you?
They have no opposition.
What does it tell you? When they're that bad, when they're not hiding any of this, when they're not denying any of these intentions anymore, it's because just mathematically, there's no way for them to lose anymore. We're like screaming over the fucking event horizon right now. It's past. Yeah. Right? Like, they don't have an opposition like Trump. Totally, either he didn't, either it was some kind of scam, or he failed completely, and it's not fucking happening. Like, one of these people is probably going to be the president. Like, I don't know, like my thought that they're going to screw it up so bad, might be overcome by the fact there's just so many people that aren't supposed to vote are going to vote, and they've been spread out to so many other states instead of just being concentrated in, like, California or New York or New Jersey. Like, they're all over the place now, and they're, you know, it might be a done deal.
I think that's the grim reality that people are going to have to confront. We're talking about 80,000 votes. 80,000 votes in swing states that, in its way, early. And I'm not saying that as a plan trust. I'm just saying that as a quality. I'm not even saying that as like a plan trust. I'm just being like intellectually honest. It's like way too early to assess polling at this point. But right. Trump is upside down in these swing state polls.
Right.
These are states that he should be doing really well in. He's upside down against Biden in fucking Ohio. Where he should be, where I think he beat Hillary by like 11 or 10, 12 points, something like that. So the idea that, oh, the Democrats are so bad, there's no way that Trump could. No, I mean, it's like the Dow Jones, I think, broke a record today. And not even that's enough. Not even that's enough. And if he loses the economy, like, good night, like, see you later. And I think that's the thing that people need to come to terms with. I think the MAGA people, we already get it. Like, the MAGA people have to see this. It's like the economy is at record highs, and they think in their fucking delusional world that everything is wonderful. They have to get a electoral drubbing and see that it's never going to happen again. Never going to happen again. I don't think it's possible. I don't care how bad the Democrats are. I don't think it's possible for another right-wing president to come after Trump. No, not possible. Demographics.
The only way a Republican ever wins again is if the distinction between the two parties just becomes meaningless. And pre-Trump, that's what they were angling for. They're like, we're going to be the party of beaners who like lower taxes, right? Like that's where they were going. They were talking about we have to come up with policies and talking points that appeal to these new Americans because your history. And looking back on that now, to see like this kind of like couple year aberration, if you want to call it 4 year aberration since what did he announce in 2015? Yeah, since the announcement. So we'll call it like that.
In 2 or 3 weeks, I think it'll be 4 years since that happened.
Yeah. So you look at it that way. It's been a 4 year like detour from the plan, right? We were talking about like we were going to have Jeb speaking better Spanish than, what was it, Corey and Beto, whatever, dreamed to on the debate stage up against Hillary. And this is what Republicans were going to be forever. This is what they were talking about. This is what Mitt Romney was talking about at one point, you know, when he was done talking about self-deportation, all this stuff. It's just going to be like the parties are going to really not have much of a difference. I guess the difference is going to be like how much reparations should we give the Blakes? Maybe that'll be like a debate point.
Well, that is the one white pill is that it's bad for everybody. Like the Democratic establishment is also having major, major fucking problems right now. I mean, it's irrelevant because then at a certain point it doesn't matter because they can just like mail in elections. But they are losing control. They're losing control. The establishment is losing control on their side. And they sort of a lot of their chickens have come home to roost. But that's sort of an entertaining thing. That's not really like, well, here's how we can still win. Not at all. It's actually just shit's bad over there, too. And they can't figure it out. And so my hope is that the whole thing comes spinning apart because they overplayed their hand. But, yeah, I mean, oh, man, I don't know how
you can overplay this hand. To overplay this hand is just a temporary setback, you know, like they kind of overplayed it in 2016 and he got in. I mean, but they were up against a phenomenon that they didn't take seriously. And now the phenomenon is dead. It's fucking buried. I mean, these concepts that are like flying around out there. I mean, imagine you take something simple like stopping a flow of illegal immigrants who basically do nothing but. I mean, forget it. Just put all the practical reasons aside. Just be like, there are people that aren't from here that shouldn't be here. And the idea of, you know, it's bad optics to go out there and, like, use a show of, like, deadly force, which is what all you need, like, one time as a deterrent would do the job. You know, do a little human rights violation. That would probably solve the border problem pretty quickly right down there. But no, instead we're going to have these camps where we're going to hold on to them. We're going to detain them until they can have their fucking due process. Non-citizens who need their due process. And they complain the camps are like concentration camps. The detention center is a concentration camp. All these children, These children are suffering in these conditions that are basically just like the ones they escaped in their countries. They don't have deodorant or toothbrushes. Oh, they were told to drink from the toilets. I'm totally not making that up. And it's just like, give me a fucking break. Like, this is like, how do you want, like, the obvious answer is they don't want to deal with the problem. They just want a free flow, an open border. And they used to deny that. I mean, it's amazing. And it's making me think of one of those things where, you know, real like Machiavellian political like theorists would say, like, how it's easier to start a war under a Democrat president. Because, you know, they're supposed to be, you know, more dovish, which usually the Republicans that are hawks and want to go. So you start your crazy war under them, and you can get away with it a little easier. This is like, start your open border policy under like the anti-immigrant president. The anti-immigrant Republican gets in office, and that's when you have cover to like really create a border crisis.
Because there's also the school of thought that is that they probably would be doing more to address this issue, at least in some way, not in a way that would inhibit the flow, but at least to address the crisis itself, if it weren't for Donald Trump, because everything is about anti-Trump, stop Trump, won't do it because of Trump. I mean, there is an element of there would be more deportations, there would be more action happening, there would be more whatever, but they would make sure that there wasn't any optics problem with any. So, but this is all, and Trump himself has made this worse. I mean, he himself has called, we're out of workers. We got to fill up the factories that I can't seem to keep open.
That is just insane. But it's not. But I mean, again, I do that a lot, where I keep going back into like taking things at good faith, at face value. I keep forgetting you can't do that. Like, that's how you get trapped. That's how you lose. Like, considering all this in good faith, it's not in good faith. It's just in bad faith. The entire thing is a scam, and the news over the last 2 weeks like makes it pretty fucking clear that like the plot is about complete. It's about done, right? Like your census, your the apportionment of the congressional districts is going to be so lopsided towards blue states, obviously, because of where they've put all these immigrants, where they are. They're just going to get counted. They're free to be counted without, like, they're going to know damn well that answering the questionnaire is not going to put them under any scrutiny from ICE or anybody. They're just going to let them do this. This is some kind of human right that they just have to exercise. We have to know that they're here. We have to be able to counsel. We can apportion our services, you know, appropriately to different areas of the country that need them based on who's there and who they are. And blah, 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 blah. So we can't just go around using this to entrap people into being deported because they don't fucking belong here, because that's a concept that doesn't exist anymore. It's just fucking infuriating.
Yeah, I don't think that has trickled down to the brown detritus, though.
They will, we're talking about, we got a year. Well, not a year, but
yeah, it will, dude. I just don't think that they're gonna. I think you're still gonna end up with. There's still a large number of people who are just not gonna answer this thing, no matter how palatable it was. I mean, that's just the bottom. I don't think anybody is just gonna be like, oh, well, I don't have anything to worry about now. I think there's gonna be more people that are like that, but I just think in general they're like, we don't. These people aren't intelligent. You know, we're talking about a population that doesn't even speak Spanish for the most part. They speak some sort of fucking crazy, I don't know, ancient Indian talk. And these people are just dumb. They don't know. And so I don't really think you're ever going to get an accurate count until you have people lining up on a chalk line, which is really what probably needs to happen. I forget what I was going to say. There was something else I was going to say.
Are you going to say happy birthday, America? Are you going to sing happy birthday to America for tomorrow?
No, not. Not going to do that. But I wanted to play this audio of Limbaugh today.
Ah.
And he was very. He's very. I don't know whether he. What he's
has
been
the picture improved? Has the Drudge page a little better now? No.
He's no. He's very blackpilled.
All right, good.
And to the point where his audience is calling in, because today is Open Line Friday on Wednesday.
Oh,
and so. His audience is calling in and telling him that, you know, this is not like him. This is not like his program. This is not how he usually is, and that he's on the edge of the cliff and he needs to walk back and everything's going to be fine. This is America. Listen to this fucking guy.
What is the drive-by media today if it is not a daily attempt at undermining the values and the concepts that were there at the founding of this country. What do you mean if it ever hits the mainstream? That's the problem. The point, it has hit the mainstream. Ugh. Unless you have a different definition of mainstream than I do. Turn on any television show, the odds are it's going to have something in it that literally destroys or attempts to destroy or attacks you, your values, your way of life.
With facts
the
and
founding
logic.
Of this country, movies ditto.
To say white people, Rush.
That's the whole point. This stuff has now gone beyond the fringe. It has escaped the fringe and is in the mainstream. The Democrat Party is seeking the presidency on the basis that illegal aliens deserve more rights and more welfare than citizens of this country. And they have not been laughed out of the arena like they would have been 25 years ago or 20 or even 15.
This is what you were talking about before.
Yeah.
And it's time for people to realize this. And I'm trying to conflict it, Rush?
You think so?
Not the kind of attitude I ever brought to this program in years past on the day before Independence Day.
Listen to this.
Now we've got so many lies in the media. How many of you have seen the news that the president is going to give up on the citizenship question?
Oh, boy.
And how many of you said, damn, why? Well, he hasn't. It's fake news.
We have a tweet
from the president. The news reports about the Department of Commerce dropping its quest to put the citizenship question on the census are incorrect, or to state it differently, fake. We are absolutely moving forward, as we must.
The president said so on Twitter.
He tweeted
the answer to this question, meaning we're still pushing to get this on the census in 2020.
Hold on,
but yet it's all, I don't care where you go, the stories are leading lists of headlines. Administration abruptly drops quest to put census citizenship question on 2020 census. It's outright fake news.
There are 12 million, if you believe Russia's listen stats, 12 million people who think this. All these ditto heads, MAGApedes, it's a lie, it's fake news. All the people on Twitter that are like, Matt Drudge sold out. He used to be a cool guy. Now something bad happened to him, guys. What happened? Oh, my God. What's it going to take for these people
to
terms with the fact that, like, no, Matt Drudge isn't lying to you.
The president
lost your birthright, okay?
The president's Twitter is lying to you. These are not things he's going to do. They're just things that he says.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what if they're not pursuing this in court anymore, then what does the fight to go forward mean?
Yeah.
What it means is that they're going to go to the Social Security Administration, the IRS, HHS, and so forth to get information about citizens from there and then correlate that with the census data and then extrapolate statistically is what they're going to do. That's what Trump is actually blathering about. He's just too dumb to articulate it.
Here's how Trump can still win.
the ideal is you don't want just those sources of data. You want the census question as well, right?
Right.
You want them both. But what he's blathering about is the fallback position of, well, we'll just do the background information collation and correlation, and he's just too dumb to articulate it.
Until there's a nationwide injunction from, you know, a district court from somewhere, supposedly.
So
these people, just for the record, if all of this stuff, all these headlines that, you know, Rush is reading and the headlines that you're reading, I mean, there is some truth to the fact that if these headlines were happening under not Trump, or even not Republican, all these people would be angry. They should be as angry as we are now about this stuff, because we know that it's not doom and gloom clickbait. It's real. It's real failure. It's real. Rush is like, you know, I just want people to realize this. It's like 25 years ago, Rush, you had a radio show. Why weren't you telling people to realize this shit then? Might have been a little bit early, 25 years ago. This would be hard to imagine when you have, like, Bill Clinton.
Well, I remember listening to him. We're like, you know, Illegal immigration was a background issue that came to the forefront once in a while, and then it would swirl away into the ether of other, God knows, like Jewish wars and tax cut ideas and this and that. But it was a thing that would swirl around in the forefront. And in his defense, it was thwarted a lot of times. I'll never forget. It must have been around 2005, 2006. I remember there was a National Review magazine cover back when I used to actually get the fucking paper shit mailed to me. It said Hasta la Vista Reconquista. They were making fun of a protest somewhere where it was all Mexican immigrants and they were all marching, flying Mexican flags, and the idea being these optics were so bad that it ruined the I think it was a Gang of Eight deal. It was some John McCain led effort to basically create an amnesty. There was the first time I remember hearing comprehensive immigration reform, and you know, old Rushbow led the you know, he spearheaded the effort against it, and it didn't win. It just it stopped the actual amnesty from happening, but it didn't make any changes about enforcement or anything else that goes on, you know. So it was just left on its own. And this was a thing that you know, when W made that infamous upon re-election, family values don't stop at the Rio Grande. Like, I don't think, like, Rush wasn't on board with that. I'm pretty sure everybody was mad about that. But, you know, again, where there was no sense of urgency that this was, like, the end of the world, because that's, people don't respond to shit like this until it is the fucking end of the world, or at least we're not supposed to. So, here we are now.
The opposition doing it. And I think what fucking boomers as they're dying off, and these MAGApedes who seem to have inherited this bug for retardation, is a full, unadulterated 3-5 terms of Trump loses in 2020, mm-hmm. and replaced by the worst that the Democrats have to offer. I don't want a Biden. I don't want a Kamala, because they're going to try to, establishment's going to dial it back in. I want another fringe candidate that goes. And then they set up an election in 2024 for the Democrats to win again. And I want all this bad news to continue to happen. And I want these people to get really upset and really twisted up the way they did under Obama, and then realize that they can't take it back, that there is no taking it back. And I'm not saying that because I hope that, that's going to be the thing that turns it all around. It's just that you will be truly in uncharted territory at that point, because there is no pendulum to swing back the other way, you dumb faggots. No. It's over.
It's over. Please set me up with a war with Iran so we can lose. Pit us against fucking Russia and everybody else who's not, you know, diversifying their officer corps. Or that's probably the wrong word for it, but, you know, whatever.
That they can use to sort of pull out of this without it sort of becoming an issue where people are starting to notice too much. The war seems like the only thing, and it's like, to do the war, whatever was going on yesterday, and we can sort of speculate on all the weird shit that was happening yesterday. I mean, it's going to take an attack on U.S. soil or 9/11, or say it's not going to, like, the Israelis crying that the Iranians are stealing their nuclear technology that they stole from fucking us.
You're right. Even then, like, God bless the truthers. Lord knows that, like, most of the stuff out there is like psyops or retarded. But they have prepped the population to not believe it if another 9/11 happens. That's another like hurdle for them. Right. There's like, how many people, what is the number of people? I remember a long time ago, South Park did a bit making fun of 9/11 trutherism. They said that the stat that was out at the time was that 25% of people, 1 in 4 people, don't believe, you know, believe it was an inside job or whatever. And their joke about this was like, yes, it's true. About 1 in 4 people are retarded. It's like, I would like to know, like, Trey and Matt of South Park, what's that number now? You know, what's the fraction of people that are, quote, retarded because they don't believe 9/11 anymore? And that's going to carry forward and be a fucking, just like the crisis actor thing became such a meme that it harmed the left's efforts to do like gun grabbing and shit like that in the wake of other shootings. So it's just like, I don't know what they're going to have to do. But at this point, I just want it. It's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's send some carrier groups and let's get owned. Put a dent in the prestige of the enforcement arm of this dead fucking empire, this petrodollar empire. It's like, let's put a big dent in everyone's confidence that our will around the world can be enforced at the point of a gun.
Maybe that's, you know, the bigger that's the bigger red pill. It's not just that there's no domestic or international support for another war. It's that we would fucking lose. That's
I believe we would.
They can't call. I mean, well, it's a war. At the very least, it's a war that you can never win.
Yeah.
So.
Ah, yeah. So is Afghanistan. We're still there. Yeah. That's fun.
Well, because of the opioids. Got to stay there forever, you know?
God. So, I don't know. With that, let's take a break. And just in this context, when we come back from the break in about 10 minutes, let's explore the idea of Chaka being totally not vice president. Deal? We want to talk about that?
Yeah.
I want to talk about that. And we'll let Ethnarch talk, too. I'm sorry, Ethnarch.
Ethnarch.
It's fine. I was just enjoying the spiel here. Good stuff.
just a preconceived thing of magic that we came up with earlier.
You're right. So to go along with all this blackpilling, here's this final interruption of some black and roll. I hope you enjoy it, folks. We'll be right back. Yeah. There you go. Satyricon, new Dark Throne. I don't know. It's music for white people, though. What can I say? So
very
we're back.
White.
So we're back. 936-666-1488. But don't bother. Lines are jammed, and I don't know if we're gonna get to a caller this episode.
Maybe we'll just do one caller.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we have a lot of bitching to still do.
All right.
There's a lot going on. So I don't even know where this originated from. I've just seen people talking about it. So I'm reacting to the reaction to, because I didn't see the actual news, but this rumor floating of tapping Chaka to totally not be vice president. Where did this originate from? Did you see that it came from?
There's a Spectator article that is sort of suggesting that Tucker be Trump's vice president. But here's the thing. Problem.
This is
just a cope. It's like Trump is failing so horribly. So let's take the one thing that is successful, that is doing really well, that resonates with people, that hasn't let us down, and marry that up with the thing that has just fucked everything
up. Right.
And here's the other thing. Tucker doesn't want to have anything to do with Trump.
Why would he?
And he's not gonna sully his reputation.
Exactly.
Now Tucker, this would be a real thing if Trump had even done 50% of what he said he was gonna do in total, in most of what he said he was gonna do on immigration, and the only things that he didn't accomplish would be truly things that he could not do without extrajudicial, extra legal action. Then I could see Tucker, from a very intellectually sort of integrity standpoint, of signing up to do the political bit with Trump. But Tucker's an honest guy. He has criticized the president, and when he has criticized the president, he's gotten phone calls from the White House and stuff. But he's not going to be – I don't think he wants to have anything to do with such a fake and gay thing. It's like, what does Tucker do after that?
I've heard
–
I've heard rumors of his aspiration for – actually, I think I heard them from Ethnarch. It was the first time I heard of his rumors of his aspirations to get into politics. But and if those aspirations are rumored are actually true, this would be the worst way to get in. It's like here's a guy that everybody pretty much everybody agrees is great, and he can only ruin his reputation by hitching his boat to the Trump anchor.
It would completely destroy his credibility and his political viability. And a lot of the people who are supposedly agitating in favor of this are doing it precisely because of that.
Right.
Because, you know, they want him to, you know, jump into that briar patch. And so, you know, and Tucker's not stupid. So he's not going to do this.
It's being floated. It's being floated in other cases as like a plot to get him off the air, which would be the only reason that this would be being floated out there. Is like, you get Tucker off of Fox News, and the people have speculated that you put Shapiro there instead. And now you've got, like, you know, Fox News goes back to being like a solid 24-hour block of like totally like kosher, like head in the sand conservatism with you know, rah rah war for Israel and tax cuts, yada yada, and that'd just be like an uninterrupted block of that again, which is the problem.
Yeah, let's just strap Tucker, who's this really great pundit on Fox News and would be successful anywhere that he is, but has a fantastic platform where he's really, you know, doing what the Jews don't want people to do at all. And let's strap him to the bow of the ship that is speeding toward the bottom of the ocean. Because that, wouldn't that be great for Tucker? Oh, yes, let's do it's just such a Jewy thing. And this is a reason why I think Kobach actually inflated his demands to be the immigration czar so that he'd get turned down. Kobach doesn't actually want to have anything to do. I don't know much about Kobach, but it's actually a benefit to Kobach that he's not part of the administration. It's a benefit to Tom Homan, who turned down the immigration czar position as well. So it's kind of funny how these guys that actually do have some shred of credibility left don't want to have anything to do with the Trump administration, and they don't want any part of it. And it's, you know, Jeff Sessions, if only he had just been like, you know, earlier on, just like, fuck it, I'm done. Like, I've had enough of this guy. But yeah, Tucker, I don't see Tucker even running for political office as a logical conclusion in 2024. Yeah. I only see him sort of getting involved at all if it's something that is going to he's not going to do it as a meme. Like Trump, actually, I think, was running for office as a meme, and he won by accident. Really think that's what happened. And when he got in, it was like, all right, now that you're there, you're going to be this contingency plan that we had in case any other right wing president ever got into office again and do what we want. But I don't think Tucker would put himself through that. I don't think he put his family through that, unless there was a significant upside that was only honest and pure. I'm not trying to plan trust on Tucker, but he hasn't given me any indication of a guy that I should not trust. I mean,
he has time, Jazz hands too. I mean, you know, barring
he's got plenty of time.
Seen, obviously, he has plenty of time to wait and see how things shake out, and plenty of time to continue from his bully pulpit to shape the battle space, as it were, right? Go ahead.
But the other part of that is, like, he's got plenty of time in terms of his own age. But in terms of demographics and possibility to win a nationwide election,
that
dude's out of time.
That's the only consideration. It's like, okay, maybe he should dive into the administration because we're out of time. But it's like, yeah, he's going to dive into the administration. And then what? Like, he's going to, again, like all those other stipulations still stand. And then it's like, oh, really? This is going to be the guy that's going to, like, supplant Ivanka and Jared from, you know, the president's right hand and finally get things done. Like, I just don't see it.
The most effective thing that Tucker could do, and it would probably result in his termination from Fox News, and that's what I'm actually worried about the most, is that he's going to say something that is too critical. And that doesn't mean that he shouldn't be critical, but that will be his undoing. It won't be Antifa. It won't be the left. It won't be anybody other than Trump getting angry because Tucker's criticizing him and in making a phone call to the Murdochs and making it happen.
Another thing he's been doing lately that's a little bit worried is, like, I turned him on, was it last night or the night before, and he did his opening bit was about how crazy the Democrats are, you know, another one of those. And he outlined all these stories that he told through the lens of like, this is identity politics and this is bad. But every story that he told, it was anti, you know, the thrust of it was that it was anti-white. He just wasn't saying that it was anti-white. So right. I was about to be like, come on, Tuck, just say it. Then I was like, wait a minute. I see what he's doing here. He's using he's being anti-identity politics, but all he's showing are white victims of it. So he's skating, like, really close to the edge, and I'm worried that he's going to, like, skate over it on that bit at some point and get, but I don't know if the audience will stand for it, but something that subtle, but he's getting
You know, I'm 50-50. I'm 50-50 on, like, what will actually be the cause. But I think definitely – but see, that's the thing. It's like, the most useful thing that he could do would be to come out and criticize Trump and start making the call to these people who think – but watch them do the same thing to Tucker that they've done to Matt Drudge. Somebody's gotten to Tucker. Somebody's really getting into Tucker's head. He just totally sold out. He's just, Tucker's fake news.
Yeah, when I'm in those Tucker groups on Facebook and some of these people get going, you know, they say things like, you know, Tucker's great when he's not sounding like a socialist, and it's just like, fuck, man, Can you not see like what's going on here? It's like they just they sometimes like Tucker. They don't. I don't know. I hope that's like a bad sample set that I'm looking at of like, you know, Facebook grugs that are into political groups that you know, normie political groups that like aren't being swayed by his stuff too much. But I don't know.
Some older Americans that I know think Tucker's like the greatest thing on Fox and everything else sucks.
That's good.
So. Now, people really don't like the "you're a great American" shtick from Sean Hannity anymore. I'm sure there's some of these boomers that still love it, the red, white, and blue stuff. But I mean, Tucker is kind of in for some interesting times too. Because I was looking at sellout Matt Drudge's website, and this is a thing that is actually happening, and we've sort of pointed out, and you guys have as well, that. Trump sort of not only sort of prolonged the death of the GOP, but he's also prolonged the death of the traditional media. And now that the Russia Mueller shit has gone away and disappeared, that process of media collapse is actually still happening. This is what I was sort of talking about before, is that like, yeah, shit's bad for us and we have the most at stake and the most skin at the game and the most to lose, but it's sort of bad for everybody right now. They're, you know, Breitbart, CNN death spiral continues with double digit Q2 ratings collapse. Univision, privately owned for more than a decade, explores sale, top of the Wall Street Journal. And then Yahoo News, US media sector braces for brutal year of jobs. And so all of this was sort of happening before Trump announced that he was running for office. Trump became sort of this, I don't know, life support for the media.
Yeah.
And then Mueller became life support for that. And then that's all gone now. So I don't know that the election is going to be a big deal for people. But guess what would, Jesse? Guess what would? World War III with Iran would save the media.
I genuinely believe that this is part of the calculation, Jazzy. As stupid as it sounds, as conspiratorial as it sounds, I literally believe that this is an important factor in those who keep pushing for war with Iran, is because, you know, the first Gulf War, you know, was a fantastic media bonanza. And the initial stages of the 2003 yep. war, you know, the same kind of thing. And so I am absolutely convinced that a big chunk of this is all the other ancillary benefits, but because of the ratings that they would get.
Dude, I remember when we rolled into Iraq in 2003, I remember watching these like grainy like sat phone video, just like these blobs of pixels coming at you, and like some embedded reporter like yelling at you that this was a berm you were passing through, and they were going here, and it's like you couldn't see a goddamn. But I, goddamn, if I wasn't riveted to it. And as what Dennis Leary said about the first Gulf War, I was like, I watched the war on TV. We had a 3-foot erection with a cheeseburger on the end of it. Like that was me. Like, you know, 12 years later or whatever. That's what it was. But
Were you one of those guys that when you saw like an infantry division roll in on with a Humvee and they had the big black speakers blasting Metallica, you were like, get some?
I like heard about that. Thought that was the greatest thing ever. I was like, yes, of course you have to play Metallica. Now they know what good music sounds like. Those towel heads. But this is getting to be like Borzoi posting. It's like, yeah, like we need the war for CNN. It's like that's where the war happens. So like it goes back to like we could just have like why don't they just create like this like VR sim? You know, it's like this just boomer reality on CNN where like the war with Iran is actually happening. Let's just not actually do it. Like that could be a way out of it. You know,
not actually
just, like,
do it. Yeah,
just broadcast on CNN like all these false flags.
You know what would be great for the media too? Deporting 40 million Mexicans and maybe half of them make it. I think that would be some great media. I think the media would love to cover that.
Yeah, that's like when you start talking like the way Mike talks about, like, you know, you could get really rich doing this too. You know, it's like, but very telling they won't. You know, like the military industrial context. The military industrial context. Like that's a
is
bad
it everything
show,
so. Within the context the military yeah,
but
industrial.
But I meant the military industrial complex. Like they could get very rich having contracts to like bomb cartels. You know, and when the cartels of like you know, of Mexico are thwarted, we could like move on to like the cocaine ones in like Colombia or whatever, like whatever the 80s meme is. Like,
but that actually is literally shooting off their own foot though. Like they depend on, I mean, all, you know, the drug money, everybody's got their fucking beak wet.
Yeah.
So it's actually not profitable for them to do that.
Sucks.
It does
not
suck,
profitable for the right people.
Yeah.
Yes. Correct. Well, themselves. It's not profitable for them to do that to themselves.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm exhausted now.
All tuckered out on Tucker?
I'm all tuckered out. I'm totally not tuckered. So, I don't know. So that whole thing is fake and gay. Like it's a Spectator article speculating that this could be a thing. Like that. I don't know why that's been... It's been kind of like a wheel spinning thing going on all day or the last couple of days. Like, is he? Will he? I'm like,
if Tucker actually did that, I think I would just lose all respect for Tucker, to be honest.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't. I mean,
be so stupid, so counterproductive.
I would have to cope so hard with like they have his kids like, you know, hostage someplace, like John Podesta's holding him in a pizza parlor somewhere. So he's doing it so that they don't actually like molest them. I don't know. Like that's how I would have to deal with it. Like it doesn't make any fucking sense for him to do it. Makes no sense whatsoever.
If like Tucker got the feeling, like inside baseball, if Tucker got the feeling that he was about to get shit canned and there was nothing he could do about it, just going on a long tirade, against Trump, and then just culminating with like naming the Jews would just be, I mean, a really great way to just go out. And he could do the both at the same time because it's essentially one and the same, you know.
He'd be a funny press secretary. He could just do that Tucker laugh and like that mocking like that he does when someone asks a stupid question. I mean, but like I still don't want him to do that. But I mean, maybe if he was getting shit canned, maybe like angle for that since what's her face is thick mommy just quit. So yeah, I guess there's an opening there.
Thick mommy running for what, governor of Arkansas, I guess, isn't she?
Oh, is that she right doing that now?
Yep, that's right. That's exactly right.
Thick lazy eye mommy, excuse me. Thick lazy eye mommy. I never noticed that.
And then, of course, the other drafting movement that's going on right now is to draft Nikki Haley, which is, of
course, been going on nearly
it had a resurgence again at about the same time that this Tucker meme came up. So you know, yet again, that's being promulgated.
Yeah, I was seeing that in the Tucker group the other day. That like, should he? I don't know why they do this. It reminds me of like Mike and the Mad Dog when they have nothing to talk about. It's like sports is in like the doldrums. There's nothing going like the long fucking season of baseball. You're just in the middle of it and there's nothing to talk about because it just slogs on for months and months and months. So they start talking about they just start floating like hypothetical ideas for like trades. Like, oh, wait, I was like, oh, I don't know, Mike, what do you think if Trump gets rid of pension, replace him with Nikki Haley? What do you think?
Dog, I don't know. I like Candace Owens a whole lot better. I think it's a better opportunity. But don't you think that maybe Tucker should be? I don't know about that, Mike. Tucker's doing pretty well on his own. I don't think he needs to be a vice president right now. That's what it reminds me. But yeah, they're talking about like, Nikki Haley should be VP so that she and Candace can run on the same ticket in like in 2024. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, this is the Tucker group. Wasn't even a MAGA-P group. It's a Tucker group. Like, don't you listen to like Nikki Haley and Candace Owens are swamp people. Like Candace is a grifter, keeping you on your Republican plantation with your tax cuts, and then Nikki Haley, like, where was she governor of what? One of the Carolinas, right?
South Carolina.
And then she got sent to the UN where she was like kosher AF. She's fucking like bagels and lox all day, and now you want her? Like, are you not paying attention? These people are so stupid. It's like, how is anybody going to manage anything? It's like that.
It's the same thing that drives the gay Asian fake and gay op for people to be excited about that and call Antifa white supremacy. It's the same thing. It's like, guys, here's how we can own the left with this sort of Indian looking woman with, you know, we can be the first women president and show that we're really not racist and sexist.
They actually said that. Actually, he didn't say it's like we could get the first woman president there and have her actually not be like a corrupt piece of shit that needs to be in jail. And I'm like, why are you signaling so hard? Like, why do you desperately need to get a woman president in the first place? Like, I think that because, you know, I oppose some of this stuff, so I got called a liberal because this is like the level of discourse that it goes to. Like, you disagree with Tucker group post, you must be a liberal troll. It's like, yeah, I'm so liberal. You're the one saying that, like, these two women of color need to be the front runner. They need to be the standard bearers for your political party going forward because you're not liberal at all, right? Like what are we talking about here, gentlemen? Like what's the score? Crickets, tumbleweeds, nothing. This fucking boomer goes back to waxing his fucking Corvette.
Yeah, they've done this with Drudge. They've also done it with Ann Coulter. Ann Coulter is a sellout now. Ann Coulter is totally done. Ann Coulter is totally washed up, and she's sold her soul to the devil and all this. It's just it's so bad. These people just need their cope president out of office as quickly as possible. Just get it out. Get him out.
God. I can't cope hard enough.
So what do you think happened yesterday? I mean, there isn't much information. There's this Russian sub, they call it an AS-12, that I guess was at the bottom of the Arctic Circle, looking at the bottom. It's like one of these submarines that can go really deep, and I guess they were worried. They were asking the Russians if it was nuclear-powered or not, and nobody was saying anything. Or I can't believe that that is the thing that made Mike Pence cancel this event and then turn around and go to Washington, D.C.
Underwater Chernobyl. Once again, Russian apparatus screw up a nuclear reactor. Yeah. This time, beneath the sea. I don't know.
No, these things had nothing to do with each other. My guess is that there was some kind of venue security issue or possibly a vetting issue with somebody at the last minute, and that they decided to cancel. This kind of thing it happens fairly frequently. It's, you know, everything is magnified. Everything is unprecedented and, you know, somehow racist, you know, in the Trump administration. And my guess is that it's something more mundane like that.
I think you're missing a piece of information, though, on the story, because the statement that was given by Pence's people was, you'll find out the reason why this event was canceled in a few weeks. So
yeah, I'm aware of that. That's why I believe that it's something more mundane like that. I could be totally wrong, but that's my best guess right now.
Well, I see it as Trump is out of the country and they needed Mike Pence in Washington. His plane never took off from Andrews, and there was all this stuff going on, all these blips on the radar, and they needed him back there to make some sort of decision. Well, whether that was because there was some sort of scare that he needed to be in the Situation Room while Trump is out of the country, or whatever, they wouldn't say you'll find out in a couple of weeks if it was just a security issue at the venue in New Hampshire. They would have they would just say no comment or whatever. They wouldn't tell you, oh, you're going to find out in a few weeks. You're going to find out in a few weeks sort of tells me that there seems like there's some sort of planned thing happening, or nothing. It could just be bullshit. I don't know.
That's like if you want your thing to sound really ominous, like that's the thing you say. You'll find out soon enough.
Yeah. The Russian submarine thing is a coincidence, though. I don't think it has anything to do with that. That's not the kind of issue that the president of the United States would need to get involved in. And, you know, Trump has fantastic communications wherever he is. He can be briefed by the NSC, you know, the CIA, whoever, just fine over secure communications links. So I don't think it was the Russian sub issue. I think it's something else. And just so everybody knows, this is a small nuclear powered submarine that's it's a parasite sub that is strapped to a Delta IV class ex-SSBN. And what they do is they take it down to somewhere they want to investigate. Like if they want to, pull missile parts, you know, from a missile test, or they want to tap an undersea cable or something like that. And so then this sub separates from the mother sub and it goes and does its stuff. And it has thrusters that it can move sideways, and it has grapple arms and stuff. And they had some kind of fire on board. They were doing some testing, and they had a fire on board, and it killed some of the people who were all apparently fairly high ranking. The U.S. Navy had a sub called the NR-1 that did the same kind of thing, and they retired it about 10 years ago. But that's what happened there. And it was not a nuclear excursion or anything like that. It was a chemical fire on board. There was no radiation release or anything of that nature.
So somebody was probably smoking a cigarette and just like put it out on a piece of electronics, I guess.
Well, the last time the Russian Navy killed about 40 of its sailors was about 10 years ago. And this was on the sea trials of an Akula attack class, attack submarine. And they had a bunch of contractors on board. And some guy just decided to start playing with the Halon system. And he didn't realize it was active. And he turned it on, and the compartment slammed shut, and it suffocated like 40 people. So.
Jesus.
Yeah, isn't that the one that went down to the bottom and they never recovered it? Or they did recover it? Like, it was like years later.
No, that's a different. You're thinking about the Kursk, I think. You're talking about an Oscar class sub with the Howard Hughes thing and the Glomar Explorer. That was 50 years ago. Now, this was like just 10 years ago. They managed, this one guy screwing around with the fire suppression system managed to kill 40
was
people.
It, Was it the one with the silent propulsion system that wanted to defect to the United States, and James Bond was on it?
Yeah.
And then the guy.
Yeah, that was a different movie.
Oh, that was a different one. Well, I don't know, guys. We want to try the phones for a minute?
Yeah, why not? Let's try the phones.
Looks like Evening News called in to just listen, so I'll just leave him be. I guess does that mean he doesn't have $10 for me? Just listening on the line. What do we got here? Well, let's take this one, Alex. Alex, you're in the oven, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Hello.
How about you? Great show tonight.
Sure.
So my question is, what should you do going into 2020? Trump's obviously not doing anything on immigration. The Republican parties are a bunch of cucks. What do we do going forward into 2020 and into the future so we can, you know, gain more influence, gain power?
Well, on the screening, it says, who do we vote for? I was just going to say Mommy Tulsi and maybe Pete Buttigieg, but that was a much heavier question than I was expecting.
I'll take a crack at it if you guys want.
Sure.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I think the main thing, the most important thing that we can do is, number one, get smart, become aware, understand what's happening, why it's happening. And number two, we need to, I mean, this is a kind of boring answer, I guess, but we need to, you know, keep building our relationships, extending our sphere, you know, red pilling people and making more people aware, because what's happening in the broader culture is that we've had so many generations of people who have grown up in this degraded, sabotage, subverted culture, that they think that this is normal. They think that this is how things always have been, and mm-hmm. that this is the best that it can possibly be. And, you know, it's a dark age in some ways. You know, a dark age is not when you've forgotten how to do something. It's that you forgot that you ever knew how, you know, to do it in the first mm-hmm. place, right? And that's what we're really in danger of here is an intellectual, philosophical, social, and moral dark age that because people are fed all these lies about history and about you know, and about current events as well, that they believe these things, they're saturated in it, they're sauteed in it, and they don't know that there was ever any possibility for anything different. They don't know that life was different, and because of that, their aspirations of what they think is possible have been stunted. And so it's very much up to us, you know, to counter that narrative and to give people the information that they need, to give them mm-hmm. the ideas and the principles that they need so that they can, number one, understand that aspiring to a better life is not foolish, it's not stupid, it's not crazy, and secondly, that they themselves can play a role in making that possible. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry if that sounds, you know, trite or Pollyanna-ish, but I think that's the, you know, ultimately what we have to do, irrespective of what happens in the world.
I have a take that's solidified in my mind, too. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's a very eloquent way of just saying 5 point. I mean,
that's what I was going to say. Fifth political theory posits that, I mean, I don't know if I buy completely that the concept of the nation state is over with. That was part of it, I believe, but it was just the concept.
This nation state.
Yeah, yes,
over
I think
with.
Specifically this one. I think going forward, if it's clear that we have no border, and the country's services that are paid for by a combination of your tax dollars and just printed fake money, if that's going to lurch on with this new demographic, this new group of these new Americans, this coalition of the ascendant, I think as that increases, while the system will still move forward on the inertia that's built up, I think it's going to become, as other shitty nations become, where the system's going to become more and more corrupt and more just tied up in itself and inefficient. And there's going to be spaces in it to survive and thrive and be able to continue existing. It's just like the idea of taking the reins of power of the system through like politics is just kind of out the window at this point. But it's going to be more. It's more of a survival mode kind of thing, is the way I see it.
It has to collapse. It has to collapse, and you know, we just like a controlled demolition of a building, right? We want to be able to, as much as we can, influence the direction of the collapse and severity of the collapse and what kind of form it takes. And then we need to start thinking about what we're going to do post-collapse. And, you know, there's going to be a period of time where we have to live, you know, in the interstices, you know, as it will. But our ultimate goal is, of course, is to move beyond that. And you know, it's hard. You can't make long-range plans in such a chaotic situation. But what you can do is you understand that you do need to make plans as soon as things start to resolve themselves more clearly and have principles that you use to guide, you know, what's happening as much as you can influence it. And that's the key. We're in the beginning, just the very beginning of a very, very strongly intense transitional period, more so than we've seen in any Western nation in a long, long time, mm-hmm. if ever. And that just adds to the uncertainty.
Yeah, it's sort of like asking someone in like 1750 to make plans for 1800. It's like
there you go, and that
was a very slow time. One advantage that we have now is that things are happening so quickly. Mm. You don't have to, and we've said this many times before, you don't have to paint people this intricate picture of how things were and how things are going to be and how bad things are getting. It's happening in real time. This isn't something that you have to describe over a 100-year period. You certainly could sort of input those parameters and sort of describe the change in 100 years, but you could just describe the change in fucking 5 years and it resonates with people. And the other thing is that because the system is in collapse, the detritus that they're importing, this is the best they've ever had it in their entire lives. This is better than anyone in their bloodline has ever had it. And they think that this is great. They actually think that our system of today is totally not corrupt compared to the place that they've come from. So this importation of shitty people, you know, give us your poor, you're tired, you're hungry, it's just so that we can subvert you harder. I mean, that's what it's really about. Like, let's get more retarded dupes to come in here mm-hmm. and basically consume more product and buy more product. So the things that, you know, we can do, obviously malicious compliance. I don't think local politics is out of the frame either, because, you know, and that's not a cope either. That's not a cope for like, oh, you know, still do politics. I think if people are in a small town and they have the ability to influence in their small town and they can make some inroads and do whatever, I think those sort of local relationships that you build with people, even if you're just, you know, somebody in your neighborhood that is known, it's like that, all of that stuff is going to somewhat survive intact. And those are the bonds that are really going to matter more than anything else as times get more difficult. Does that mean that you should go run for the mayor? No, probably not. But maybe that's something you want to do. I don't know. That's not really the point of sort of building these relationships with other people in your community. But yeah, we're in for a bumpy ride, guys. And, you know, we've said this before too. We have record levels of immigration in this country that we haven't seen in 100 years. And 100 years ago, there was the political will to slam the door shut on that shit. And there's not this time around. And so it's going to get worse. And so, you know, I think one big advantage that we have right now as well is that there are more people that are able to obtain information that was not previously available to them before. Yes, they're doing everything they can to sort of suppress people and stamp it out and whatever, but people aren't sort of limited to 3 television networks and 3 newspapers and whatever. And so we sort of have a duty to get this stuff out there. You know, checking out is sort of the last thing that you want to do. But anyway, that's my piece.
Hmm. All right. Okay, I guess we lost him. I don't hear anything. So I guess with that,
I was hoping he was.
Oh, there you are. There, hello, Alex. Yes. So there you go. That was fun. Thank you for the call. We're gonna take a quick break. Take it easy, man, and have a happy Fourth. With that, yeah. I guess we'll go to one more music break here, and I guess when we come back, we'll take some more calls. Unless you guys have more prep you want to run through, but. Oh God, I'm exhausted. This has been exhausting.
So, it is an exhausting.
Yes. Yeah. So the final interruption. So something old and then something new. Here you go. Ah. All right.
Oh,
That's the last time for the next 2 weeks. You have to hear my super signally taste in music. So there you go.
Could be the next time in the next 4 weeks, I guess.
That's true. You might get to do some digital files. See how that goes.
If I remember.
Yeah. If you remember to do it. Yeah, you're supposed to do it tonight. I was scrambling to throw together some vinyl tonight. But there we go. Maybe just let Ethnarch do it again.
Yeah.
I think
Jazz Hands should have the opportunity.
Sure.
Why not? Oh. Well, thank you.
Opportunities all around. Everyone deserves opportunity. Maybe we should just be like America. We'll just let anybody, literally anybody, have the opportunity to, you know, play their music on this show. We should just open forums, just free open music borders, right? We'll just let everybody fucking do it. Just have access to our platform, to our technology. You can have access to my my digital editing acumen. I'll just put them together into neat little breaks and trigger them when we're done talking about this and that. So, oh God. So what else is going on, fellas? We can take a call if you want. Do you want to talk about Iran?
There's Iran. I mean, there's not much to talk about other than they're sort of ramping up allegedly ramping up their enrichment of uranium to whatever level they want. And I mean, you know, they know that Trump can't rally the domestic and international domestic international support to go to war. Yeah. It's sort of like, come at me, bro.
Well, if you look at the phones here, Whiskey Dan wants to talk about Iran. So I'm gonna key him through here. Whiskey Dan, hello, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi. What have you got on Iran for?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, well, first and foremost, I just want to say a big heartfelt thank you to Mr. Marcus Halberstam, because I did hear on Sunday's FTN that he may be taking a hiatus for a little bit. And I just want to say thanks to all the good work that he's done for so many years.
Absolutely.
FTN and all the rest, a great part of my process of slipping out of the Jewish mind control program.
Yeah, he's been a big part of what we've done here. He's been a big part of what we've done here the past few years, and we really appreciate everything he's done and wish him the best. I'm gonna miss him. I'm gonna miss hearing that. It's such a comfy sound, you know. But no, I get it. I get where he's coming from. So
yeah.
Anyway. So what do you got for us?
I don't know what I would say to him. Just say, coming up snake eyes one more time, you know?
yep.
But the reason for my call is I actually have a hot take on the Iran situation.
Okay.
It's kind of been the main thinking among, among you guys that the Jews in Israel really want this war in Iran. They're really pushing for it. And as we all know, last week, Trump went right up to the line. And if you were to believe the stories, you know, they were at the 0 hour. They were ready to strike Iran in some capacity. And then at the last moment, Trump pulled out of it and said, we're not doing that. And I'm going to tell you why that was actually on part of the Jews.
Oh,
so
all right.
Today I see a headline. Times of Israel. Iranian official says, if the U.S. strikes Iran, Israel will be destroyed in half an hour. I'm kidding, of course. That would never happen, but it's like, I wish it was true.
they felt the threat. It's like, oh God, please. We have to, everyone be reasonable.
Please be reasonable. Let's not warmonger. Yeah, obviously that fucking... Yeah, thanks, Times of Israel, for that fucking bullshit explanation. it's like, look, if Iran had the fucking capacity to, excuse the F-bomb, but if they had the capacity to destroy Israel in half an hour, it's like, guy, why not do it?
Yeah, it's almost like, what are we sitting here talking about? Yeah,
by fucking 4 o'clock today. Why not?
With nail polish.
But I guess I'm not an expert on foreign policy by any means, but I don't know if maybe one of you guys has some kind of take on what the actual backlash to Israel would be if we weren't going to war. You know, send all the white American, you know, good boys to go fight for Israel. What would actually happen to Israel in that kind of all-out war?
So you'd have some missiles, you'd have some terrorism, but the main thing that would happen is that Israel would use it as a justification to take the West Bank permanently, and that was part of their that is something that they are just absolutely slavering to do. Is if they can get a generalized conflict ginned up over there, then they're going to use it as justification to take the West Bank. No question.
Yeah. Just expand. Greater Israel is the plan. Anyway. All right, Whiskey Dan. Thank you for the call, sir. Have a happy 4th.
Thank you, sir.
And death to America. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be saying that. I'm probably going too far with that meme, right? It's very insensitive. Going to turn some people off.
Well, if you're talking about just, you know, ending an idea that has no place in time and is not made up of anything, then, I mean, what's the problem?
Mm. Well, it stands against everything that I stand for at this point. So, I mean, it's for exporting faggotry all around the world. Now, if it was strategically exporting faggotry to countries I wanted to destroy, I might be able to get on board with that, but that's not what we're doing. We're just spreading the love, right?
Isn't even that a bridge too far?
Yeah, I know.
Would you wish faggotry on your worst enemies? I wouldn't.
I mean, I would wish it on Israel.
Oh, yes. Yes, okay. Sure.
But that's, you know, like that one guy in the Colette debate is, you know, we're just behind. We're going to have, we don't have same-sex marriage there yet, but it's a liberal democracy. Oh, my God, please ruin your country with that, Israel. Just let's do it. Dive in. But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I've never been one for that sort of, for that line of thinking before. But lately it's just, oh, God. I guess there was a lot to be optimistic about the last few years until it all just like fucking fell apart completely.
Yeah, you just have to remember. I mean, I felt this way in 2012. This is why I didn't want to have anything to do with politics. I know what this feels like.
Well, 2012, it was like I'm just checking out but there was still
Let me clarify. When I checked out in 2012, it wasn't because of the loss of Mitt Romney. It was because of Mitt Romney being the guy.
Like, right.
I didn't check out because it was like, oh, Mitt lost. Goddamn all of this. No, that's not it at all. This is literally the gayest fucking cycle ever. Bush,
even before
McCain,
that, with Mitt with Romney. McCain before that, I think I mostly checked out with McCain and then like completely went off the rails with and I wasn't even paying attention.
You loved Sarah Palin, though.
I thought Sarah Palin was like a normie face. In this thing, it was like an outsider. It was like this person seemed to have like, it's like there was like, it was like, all right, everybody's calling this person stupid. There must be something to this person because they don't go all out calling someone stupid like this unless there's something dangerous about them. Like I had this feel that they were scared of her. So I was like, huh, there's something might be something here. But like McCain it's like give me a break. But what I wanted to say was like when I checked out, my thought was. I didn't have this dread that the country was over when I checked out. I was like, oh, politics is fucking gay. I'm just gonna tend to my own garden and mind my business and try to stay out of the way of everything. Like that's like you don't have that. Like I feel like that option doesn't exist now. You know, you have to be engaged and tend to your own garden and be like, you know, you have to be putting up fucking fences. Be really on the defensive, more so than at that point is what I was trying to say. Like the mood of that is like really different now. Because
it is a different mood and sort of the awareness comes with a price, right? Like back then in 2012 it was just like fuck this is shitty,
this is
gay. I didn't really understand at that point like
fine, taxes will be higher, whatever, I'll just find ways to make more money and they'll just take more but I'll be okay.
All these
regulations, I guess more poor people will be getting health care on my dime. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe people just don't like free markets. Gosh darn it, they're lost.
Well, I mean, pre-Red Pill, I was always woke on the immigration stuff. I just didn't know anything about Jews. So I've always been sort of an immigration sort of hawk on this stuff, but yeah. Didn't understand why. And it was sort of like, oh, great, more illegal immigrants. This is going to be fun. Awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just that's – now it's sort of like there's not only a price but a responsibility that comes with sort of knowing and seeing things the way they are.
Yeah,
it's like
and I think the biggest thing, at least for me, is that we can finally free ourselves from this faux nostalgia for a time that never was in a country that never really existed.
That's a big relief. The fake patriotism and all that.
The whole thing was has been going downhill since 1789, and good news is that we're all here. Is that we're all here together and that we have this technology and that more people than ever understand the real basis of our reality here, and it's growing all the time. And so while all these black pills pour in, as we try to make our way amongst the ruins of the crumbling American empire, more and more people are becoming enlightened and understand what the stakes really are and what they're going to have to do in order to build a better future for themselves and for their children. And so again, maybe it sounds kind of Pollyanna-ish, but this is the greatest time to be alive, and in my view,
we just got a scorching hot take in the comments that I want to share with you guys.
Oh, okay.
Are you ready?
It's sure.
Draugr gives us a 40 chess move. I can't believe I didn't see this coming. This is the greatest 40 chess move that's ever to come. I mean, here we go. Trump is bringing all this military hardware tomorrow to stage a coup and take over the Capitol and liquidate his enemies, destroy the deep state, and return power to white America. USA!
Oh, man.
Yeah, so scorching.
So the funny part is that the Department of Defense actually issued a press release saying, "Don't be alarmed when you see the tanks in the streets. They're just going for the static display." So that's pretty funny.
No, liberals, go stand in front of them.
there are probably a somewhat sizable number of shit libs in D.C. and elsewhere that probably do think that that's going to happen. There probably are people who actually think that the people that are watching MSNBC and CNN waiting for Trump's tax returns to be, sort of put out there. These are the people that think, it might happen and are flipping out about it. Because, I mean, to a certain extent, getting them riled up on that side over military hardware in D.C. is sort of like, the same sort of shtick that they do with, plan trusting with Trump. It's like they're trusting the plan that Trump is actually this evil orange guy. It's like, no, guys, like he's even going to give you faggotry for free. Like, you don't have to worry about anything. So,
well, at least, I mean, tomorrow I'm still going to enjoy like several Bjorger. I'm just going to do that. It's going to be burgers. Be great.
I remember thinking back and hearing about this 4th of July parade the first time it was announced it was going to happen, back when Trump was still like potentially still going to do some stuff.
Wasn't Veterans Day or something they were going to do it?
Oh, there was going to be the first 4th of July. It was supposed to be the very first 4th of July that he was president, and there was all this pushback, and then it was canceled, and we were sort of like, oh man, this would be great because of everything was sort of going well back then, and now it's just such a flaccid,
if I remember, they were bidding up the bills for all the stuff, so he like canceled it over funding, like they were turning it into like a some kind of pork boondoggle, like on purpose to torpedo it, and so he did.
Now Americans, now working class Americans, get to see all this expensive military hardware that costs, probably enough to fund the budget of their county or their, state even, for a long period of time, that is being used to go fight wars with Israel. I mean, let's just parade the military-industrial complex down the street and rub it in the faces of everyday Americans who are living hand-to-mouth, living paycheck to paycheck, who yeah. have probably know somebody personally that they've lost to the opioid mm-hmm. crisis, or yeah. have a relative who's lost an arm or a leg or is in a wheelchair because of military adventurism and war with Iraq. And let's just have a big parade, the big neocon fucking parade for Israel, because that's what it is. Big show of force to show what America can do.
Look at all this awesome stuff that we have. Look at all the stuff we can do destruction and defense with, but we're not putting it anywhere near the border. We can't yeah. use this in your interest. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. We're going to use this somewhere else.
You know what we should have a parade of down Pennsylvania Avenue or Constitution Avenue? I think it does sort of a loop or whatever around the mall.
Heroin-addicted white people? Unemployed heroin addicts.
Job offers for people who have been out of the workforce for however many years. The 13 million. I want to see 13 million job offers in factories.
That's
what we should have a parade for on the 4th of July.
That parade is happening in, like, Bombay.
God, dude. All I can do is just laugh.
And I'm not saying Mumbai. Fuck that. It's Bombay.
Mumbai.
No, you don't know how to say your own words. Fuck you. It's like... Yeah. I can't remember. What was it? Oh, there was a guy. What was that movie? Remember that one big black dude, Ving Rhames? There was some comedy movie where this character's last name is Madropides, and he kept calling him Meat Drapes. And he corrected him. He's like, it's Madropides. And the big nigger fucking Ving Rhames. He's like, well, why does it sound like that when I say it, Meat Drapes? It's like, that's how I feel about Mumbai. It's like, why does it sound like that when I say it, Bombay? I got confused there. I screwed myself up.
Amongst themselves, Indians still call it Bombay, and they call it Madras and all that stuff. They don't use the new names either.
So no, that's to exert control over white people. It's like
Are you sure they didn't cast Amy Schumer to play the role of Meat Drapes?
Jesus,
yeah. It's Madropides. Oh yeah. Shit. Well, I think with that. I think we've done our work.
We've done a heck of a job.
I enjoyed it. We had a good time. Ethnarch, thank you for sitting through the first hour while we yelled and screamed.
Well, pleasure as always.
And probably made you cringe. He always feels like a grown up when we get upset and blackpilled. So I know it's probably trying for you. But everybody have a happy 4th, regardless. Turns out M80s are illegal, so I won't be blowing up any hams tomorrow. But maybe by the weekend I'll figure something out. I don't know. I probably shouldn't even promise that. Well, we'll be on the TDS tomorrow. Hopefully Mike will be back. If not, I don't know, you can just listen to me bellyache about things a little bit longer. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you again soon. Bye,
FTN
Jazzy.
FTN this weekend.
That's right. There is a free FTN this weekend. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Good catch. Yeah. Not taking the weekend off. Not being a bunch of layabouts. Good for you. Good on you. Well, that's that.